So we are in the midst of this Carols of the Season sermon series. And the carol that's chosen for today is exactly 300 years old. It was written in 1719, so 300 years. I don't know if you know who the author is. It's not like Beyoncé or Kanye. I don't know if any of you were alive 300 years ago, but it has some staying power, doesn't it? It is the hymn that is associated with Christmas. If you have looked for Christmas cards, the top of the Christmas card most often will quote this particular song. The melody is one that is easily recognizable. Dun, dun, da, da. Except we haven't done it yet today. And for many of us, it's not Christmas until we sing that song. But if you look at the lyrics at all, and we sang it twice already, giving you an opportunity to explore the lyrics, there is no baby in the song. There are no angels. There are no mangers. If you look at the lyrics, you might wonder, is this even a Christmas song? How did it get attached to Christmas? Over the next few moments, I want to talk to you about this song, Joy to the World, about its author, its composition, and why we sing it during this season. You ready? Its author is named Isaac Watts, and he was like many of us. When he grew up, he went to church. He was forced to. Any of you in that camp? Unlike many of us, he liked to rhyme a lot. If you can imagine that annoying child who every time that child spoke, they spoke in rhymes. And if you are any of those children, I'm sorry I called that annoying. But Isaac Watts' parents were annoyed by it, and they said, in this house, and they were teachers in a schoolhouse, so in this house, you cannot speak in rhyme. That means that whether he was at home or at school, he couldn't rhyme. One day he forgot about it, and he spoke in a rhyme, so his dad came to spank him, to which he responded, "Oh, father, do some mercy take, and I will no more verses make." I'm not sure that it worked. At 16 years old, when leaving church one day, he complained about the hymns. You see, in the 1700s, they would say, we're going to sing Psalm number 2, and we're going to do it to tune number 3. Ready? So in the same way that we sang Joy to the World to other tunes, that is what church was like way back when. And he couldn't stand it. None of you said you can't stand it, but maybe you were just hiding. He couldn't stand it, so he went home and he complained, "I hate church. I can't stand the music that we sing." And his dad said, "Well, if you think you can do better, give it a try." So he did. That night, his dad presented the song that he wrote, and they sang it in church, and it was pretty good. One day after reading Psalm 98, he wrote a song. I'd like to read to you a couple of verses and tell me if you recognize it. To our Almighty Maker God, new honors be addressed. His great salvation shines abroad and makes the nations blessed. You guys recognize that? Let me try verse 2 then. He spoke the word to Abram first. His truth fulfills the grace. The Gentiles make his name their trust and learn his righteousness. No? When he wrote Joy to the World, there were lots more verses. There were 7 of them, but we only sing the last 4, and we'll get to why in just a moment. Before we move on from Isaac Watts, the composer, there's a story that I think is important, because some of us might think, wow, when we look at his music, he's pretty awesome. And it turns out there was this young woman named Elizabeth Springer who said, "I'm in love with this guy, whoever he is." So she wrote to him and said, "Are you married? I would love to be your wife." And he said, "That sounds wonderful. Come and visit." So she got on a train and went to go see him, and upon seeing him, got back on the train and went back home. About him, she said, he was only 5 feet tall, with a shallow face and a hooked nose, prominent cheekbones, small eyes that were the color of death. So he never did marry, but he wrote a lot of great music. About 120 years later, After Isaac Watts composed his retelling of Psalm 98, and after his death, a composer named Lowell Mason pieced together portions of music from George Frederick Handel. Handel? I got it right. Sweet. 9 o'clock said I was wrong. And what would happen back then is you'd take some music and you'd take one bar from here and one bar from here, a measure, and another measure from here, and you'd put them together and you'd create a new song. Apparently that still happens today, but copyright kind of prevents that. So he did this. He took Handel's Messiah, and there's a line in there, lift up your heads, you mighty gates. Did I do that right? You guys recognize that? So Lowell Mason said, that's an awesome line. Let's take it and use that for my song. And then he took other pieces and created this tune that he called Antioch. And then after he had his tune, he said, I need to find some words to fit into this song. So he started off with Isaac Watts' words, and like the faces you made when he started with the first three verses, he said, well, that doesn't fit. And finally he got to verse 4, which said, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. And it all fit. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. All right. When you sing those words, does that match the history that you know? When Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago, did the world just say, oh my gosh, Jesus, you're here. Woohoo, welcome. Come and rule us. No? But that's what the song says. Well, let's try a different verse. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Does that match your experience? I was on Facebook yesterday, and after about, 2 seconds on Facebook, this post popped up about porch pirates. Do you guys know what that is? That's when Amazon or somebody drops a box off at your house, and there's video of somebody else coming and taking those boxes. Well, obviously, there's still sin in the world. That's happening. A little longer on Facebook, it's not only porch pirates, but then there are people whose cars get broken into, and even worse, people who are being robbed. So that doesn't quite work. Well, let's try verse 4 then. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Does that fit? And that is the right answer. One day that will happen. It turns out when Isaac Watts wrote this, he wasn't talking about, Ricky Bobby uses this phrase. What does he say? Little baby Jesus? Dear sweet baby Jesus. Isaac Watts wasn't talking about dear sweet baby Jesus. He was talking about Jesus who is coming again. Jesus who is coming again. And we know that when Jesus comes again, every eye will see, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, why do we sing this song at Christmas? Well, if you look around, we don't have Christmas colors up yet. What are traditional Christmas colors? Red, green, white, gold. But on our wreaths, we have a different color. And the stole that I have is a different color because it's a different season. We are in the season of Advent. And traditionally, the color is purple, but nobody looks good in purple unless you play for the Lakers. So some churches choose blue instead to represent Advent. Advent is a time of anticipation, a time of waiting. And when we think about the words to this song, we know that Jesus is coming again, that the world hasn't experienced this yet, but Jesus will come one day. And when Jesus comes, no stomach will be hungry, no head will not have shelter over it. Everyone who is hungry will eat, everyone who is thirsty will drink, there will be no pain, there will be no sorrow, nothing but goodness. And dear friends, that is joyful, is it not? The day is coming when no one will want for anything. And that is a glorious day. So as we anticipate Christmas and the coming of Jesus in the season of Advent, this song is perfect because we know one day Jesus is coming. And when that comes, all of these things that we sing about will bring joy to the world. All right, so we talked about the author, we talked about the composer, and we kind of know now why we sing it in this season. Joy to the world comes from Psalm 98, and it starts off with "Sing a new song." This song is 300 years old. Can you come up with another one? Yeah, I can't either. Let's see what comes up next. How many new Christmas songs do you hear? Like, "Here Comes Santa Claus." No, that one won't work. No, that doesn't work. What song can talk about joy at Christmas? We still have to write it. Psalm 98 also says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord." And there's a Hebrew word there that's an onomatopoeia. You guys know what that is? Give me an example in modern day English. Ding dong. What? Zoom, boom, right? So it's a word that sounds like what it's saying, right? I didn't say that right. Anyways, in Hebrew, the word is ranana. What does that mean? In English, it says make a joyful noise, but in Hebrew, it says yell na-na-na. Of course, when the Broncos or the Packers or the Patriots or whatever team you cheer for, when they win the Super Bowl, of course you're going to yell, "No, no, 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 no," right? Some of us might say, "Na, na, 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 na." But in Hebrew, that's what it says. Make a joyful noise is make the "na, na, na" sound. Our culture might be a little bit removed from it, but that is what it says to make. Finally, it ends with, "Praise God with the lyre and the trumpet." Y'all know I play the trumpet. What about you? It ends with, "All of creation will praise God." I spent last week up at Big Bear. There was 3 feet of snow, and it was glorious. It was beautiful. What can you say when you see that except to say, "Ah, God." As we continue in Advent and we approach Christmas, will you share with others all the wonderful things that God has done for you? Will you try and make a joyful noise? And if you can't figure anything else out, just say, "Na, na, na." Will you praise God with the lyre and the trumpet, or your belly if that works too? And will you join with creation? Creation that lets go of itself and praises God. At the 9 o'clock service, we sang a song right after the sermon that had "na, na, 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 na." And I walked around the sanctuary to see if people would do it, praise God with a joyful noise. And we are Presbyterian. We are not there yet, Pastor Paul. One day we will get there, and that is okay. Your mission, should you choose to accept it this week, is to go and share joy with the world. Not in the pensive kind of way of, "Yay, Jesus is coming." But to remember that when Jesus comes again, this world will be different, and that brings us joy. So share it with the world, with everyone you come into contact with. Please pray with me. God, thank you for the gift of these words that are 300 years old, that invite us to share with the world the joy of what you will do. As we hear this song on the radio, as we hear this song in worship, as we hear this song throughout this season, may we be reminded that we have a job to do, to share the good news with all whom we encounter. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.